Good morning, Emmanuel. We welcome you to worship here this morning, whether you are a regular attender or a visitor. We welcome you too if you're listening on the recording and send you our best wishes. This morning, we are glad to have the Reverend Tony Barnes with us. As most of you will remember, he was once the minister of Bath Road Methodist Church, part of the Old Town Partnership, of which we are a member. Welcome back, Tony, and thank you for coming. This morning's readers will be me, Liz Gibney, and Jeff Gleed. Most of the notices are in weekly news. However, I've got a request from Jeff. Jeff says, are there about five or six strong, fit people who could help move the front pew near the pulpit to the back of the prayer corner? It's about 10 feet. If so, can you stay after the service? Thank you. And finally, we'll have a few moments of silence as I light the candle and we prepare to worship.
Words from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, inviting an exiled people to abundant life. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you that have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. The words of the psalmist, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. From the revelation of John in the Christian scriptures. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Let us worship God as we sing the hymn, and if you have a book, it's 564. Jesus, Lord, we look to thee.
Yeah.
Let us pray. Holy God, resplendent in power and love to bring worlds into being and to create and breathe new life into us, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Darkness and light are both alike to you. We praise you for your presence in the depth of the night, and we rejoice that you are still with us as the day dawns. We contemplate the dazzling glory of your presence with awe, humility, and penitence. Accept our adoration and teach us through your living word in Scripture, so that strengthened by your Spirit, our lives may be lived to your glory. Gracious, compassionate God, nothing and no one can stray beyond the limits of your grace, nor fall below your everlasting arms of love. We praise you and present ourselves before you, owning our doubts and fears, our confusions and despair, our failures in service and love as followers of your Son, Jesus Christ. Let his mercy shine upon us and lift us up to the realms of your peace. Let us hear again his gracious word. Your sins are forgiven. And now, merciful God, grant that we and your whole church, being gathered by your Holy Spirit into one, may reveal your glory among all peoples to the honor of your name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Hymn, Let All the World in Every Corner Sing, 114 in the hymn book. In our readings, we learn of God's promise and gift of freedom to live as God's people. And in the Hebrew scriptures, in the Old Testament, that promise and that gift is for the people of Israel, and then after the psalm in the Gospel, for a marginalized woman.
First reading is from Exodus 4, verses 27 through to chapter 5, verse 1. The Lord said to Aaron, "Go into the wilderness to meet Moses." So he went, and he met him at the mountain of God and kissed him. Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord with which he had sent him, and all the signs with which he had charged him. Then Moses and Aaron went and assembled all the elders of the Israelites. Aaron spoke all the words that the Lord had spoken to Moses and performed the signs in the sight of the people. The people believed, and when they heard that the Lord had given heed to the Israelites and that he had seen their misery, they bowed down and worshipped. Afterwards, Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go so that they may celebrate a festival to me in the wilderness." Thanks be to God.
The psalm is Psalm 116, which we read responsively. I love the Lord because he has heard the voice of my supplication.
Because he has inclined his ear to me whenever I call upon him.
The cords of death entangled me.
The grave of the grave was called within me. I came to grief and sorrow.
Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray you, save my life.
Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is full of compassion.
The Lord watches over the innocent. I was brought very low, and he helped me.
Turn again to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has treated you well.
For you have rescued my life from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from stumbling.
I will walk in the presence of the Lord, in the land of the living.
Amen.
Our second reading is from the New Testament, from the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 13, commencing to read at verse 10. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. He said, therefore, "What is the kingdom of God like? And to what should I compare it? It is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in the garden. It grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air made nests in its branches." And again he said, "To what should I compare the kingdom of God? It is like yeast that a woman took and mixed with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. May my words and all our thoughts be acceptable to you, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, friends, it is good to be with you once again here at Emmanuel, even behind your various masks. I recognise a few faces. But it is good to see you all again. And indeed, it's good to see those of you whom I've never seen before, no doubt. Well, several years ago, I was conducting a service, an evening service, at a small Methodist chapel in rural Lincolnshire. Why is irrelevant. But I noticed in my congregation a couple who had been in the morning group of people for whom I had officiated, and so being prey to all the sins that all of us are, being mortal and human, I thought to myself how good that this pair, man and wife, because I'd spoken to them previously, should have been so impressed by my morning effort that they had turned out again for a second helping. Well, the Lord has ways of raising us up and ways of keeping us low. Shook their hands afterwards. I said, "How lovely to see you again." "Aye," said the man. "Aye, this is the Lord's day. And we like to spend as much of it as we can in worship." This was the only evening service planned, so happen we had no choice. And we know, in whatever sphere of life we operate, whatever we do, if we love God, then God, as I said, has ways of affirming us and has ways of humbling us in God's presence. So to begin with, in this gospel reading, which I confess to you is one of those that were set for the second service of last Sunday when I was preaching, but hey, this is August bank holiday, so you will cut me some slack. There is, and we shouldn't underestimate it, there is the significance of the day in this narrative. It's the Sabbath, the Lord's Day, if you like. And Jesus is in the synagogue, the local place of worship for the Jews, and as the Gospels make clear to us, in more than one place. That's where Jesus went on the seventh day of the week, Shabbat, Sabbath, because lest we forget, and I sometimes get the impression that there are folk who do, Jesus was a faithful Jew. And this day, of course, was the one blessed by God in the first great creation story in the book of Genesis, in the Hebrew scriptures. On the seventh day, I quote, God finished the work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, made it special, holy, because on it God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. And so, as one New Testament scholar writes, what better time than during these sacred hours, symbolic of God's triumph over chaos to bring order and creation to bear, what better day for Jesus to demonstrate the defeat of what would have been understood as Satan's agent of destruction in this woman whose life was plagued by physical disability and therefore, in the religious culture of her place and time, by judgment and marginalization. Jesus accomplishes this with quiet there and then drama. The woman is healed. Listen, 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 says Jesus. She is a daughter of Abraham, as much as any of you. She is part of God's great creative design. Now, later in Jesus' ministry, of course, we shall learn that others beyond the realm of Judaism were also part of that purpose. But here, on the Sabbath, the day of celebration of God's completion, of God's victory over order and chaos in the creation story, here on the Sabbath, we glimpse the meaning and the reality of God's realm in all its glory. Listen, listen, says Jesus. If an ox or a donkey must be given water on the Sabbath day, how much more then a human being effectively in bondage be offered the divine gift of the water of life, the freedom to be. The day of the Lord, the word of the Lord, the life-giving stream that flows from the throne of God. Julie Siddiqui, Muslim commentator on gender and faith equality issues, speaking on Radio 4's Thought for the Day. Those of you who religiously listen to Thought for the Day will perhaps recognize her name. Identifying with Muslims caught up in the current crisis in Afghanistan, said this: Women in Afghanistan have had to deal with so much over so many years. I believe they will be strong through this. They are resilient. We need to listen to them, to find out what they need, to speak up, to amplify their voices, to have our hearts open when their families are looking for refuge. We must always have hope. And then she goes on, as a Muslim woman, it is so hard once again seeing my religion being used as a justification for violence and oppression, so opposite to what Islam as a faith is really about. Now, my friends, the astonishing thing to my mind, whatever was in Luke the Gospel writer's mind, is that this woman in the synagogue was there at all. That indeed she persisted in her religious observance. I suppose we might speculate that she was clinging on to some residual trust in the practice of her faith community to bring her a measure of acceptance and healing. Over 18 years, come on. But equally, we may perceive that she was a person of deep spirituality who knew beyond the human religious teachings that marginalized her, the being of God, who only includes, affirms, makes whole those who come to God, whoever they are, whoever they are, irrespective, unconditionally, female, differently abled, male, old, young, gay, straight, black, whites, whoever they are. New, and forgive me being a bit parochial, denominational, but the new president of the Methodist Conference is the first black female to occupy that position, Reverend Sonia Hicks. We didn't still in Methodism have this ridiculous custom of electing a new president of the conference every single year because of some hang-up we've got about John Wesley in the 18th century being a bit of a dictator, so we never want to make sure that anyone gets above their position, you know. Then Sonia Hicks, I assure you, would become something of a prophetic voice in our land, but she won't be the president in another 12 months. I think you do something similar in the URC. Not entirely sure with your national moderators. Sonia Hicks tells the story of how her great aunt Lise arrived in London from Jamaica in 1956. Now, great aunt Lise was a devout Methodist. On her first Sunday in the city, she did what she always did on the Lord's Day. She dressed, she got dolled up in her Sunday best. She made sure that her Methodist membership ticket was in her handbag. And she went down the road to the Methodist church she had already noticed as being the nearest one to her home. Now, to cut the story short. The minister conducting that service told her, 1956, that her sort went to the church down the road. And would she please leave as she was unsettling his congregation? Well, never mind membership tickets, let alone the presence of a human being, or as Jesus would say, a daughter of Abraham. She didn't go to the church down the road. She didn't go anywhere. After a gap of 20 years, great Aunt Lise was drawn to the newly revived Walworth Methodist Church, South London, just down the road from the Elephant and Castle, for those of you who know the metropolis. 20 years on. Now, at this point, I could reveal a part of the story Sonia Hicks omits, but which I happen to know because I was at Walworth Methodist Church about 40 years ago and heard the minister, the great Vic Watson, tell it, without naming any names, of course. And the additional chapter is this. At the first prayer meeting that great Aunt Lise attended at that church, she prayed for forgiveness for not having worshipped with God's people for 20 years. It was not that great Aunt Lise needed to earn God's mercy through her prayer. Prayer is not transactional. We sometimes behave, we Christians, as if it is, but it's not. Rather, I suggest that, like the woman in the synagogue on the Lord's Day, whatever, she knew her place at the river of life. Whatever a stagnant religious tradition told her, she continued to drink from those waters, and life in all its fullness is hers. And coincidentally, 40-odd years on, her great-niece, who has a child, followed her into Walworth Methodist Church, is the first black woman to become the president of the British Methodist Conference. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge, and we may add to Paul's list, the sheer persistent grace of God. Grace for us to know. And if we know it, grace that we will joyfully and fruitfully share and declare with all people, just as the woman in the synagogue stood up and began praising God, her faith vindicated. Amen. The hymn, There's a Wideness in God's Mercy, 353 in the hymn book.
Thank you. it?
You have. Go on, Jeff. Play it again. Friends, in our prayers to the words, Creator, loving God, the simple response is, hear our prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, we bless you for the assurance of our salvation in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. You hold us in being. Help us to drink gladly from the ever-flowing stream of your grace and live to give thanks with glad and joyful hearts. O God, most gracious and most holy, grant us the help of your Spirit as we pray for the Church and for the world. Gracious and holy God, we come to you with the situation in Afghanistan heavy on our hearts. It is a situation so complicated and so fast-moving that it is difficult for us to know what to say or how to think. We hold before you the people of the country, those who stay and those who seek to flee, those living with terror and afraid for the future, those who, because of this latest turn of events, will never be able to live the fullness of life that is your purpose for them. We remember before you the dead and injured. We hold all this before you. We hold open to you the future, the world leaders with a role in shaping what happens next, the many who are becoming refugees, and the people who will be called upon to offer them safety and a future. The impact of these local events on our world story. We hold all this open to you. We hold in your love all those known to us whose lives have been bound up in the recent story of Afghanistan. We think of those who have served there in our armed forces and other organizations, those who were injured and those who did not return. We hold in our hearts all those for whom this is a time of special grieving and confusion, and those who minister to them. We hold all these in your love. Rock of ages, at this difficult time, we lean into your timelessness. Turn us and all people to your good purposes for your world. Grant courage and wisdom, hope and a future. Creator, loving God. We pray for Haiti. O O God of never-failing love, we pray for all those in Haiti who, through relentless trauma, keep faith and hope for a future in which all know their dignity and value in your sight and rise to the fullness of their potential as your children. We hold your beloved people of Haiti before you now, buffeted by political instability, economic injustice, hurricane and earthquake. We pray for the homeless, those grieving their dead, the injured, and all who try to fathom and deal with the overwhelming disaster that has befallen their people. Through the loving service of aid givers, healers, comforters, may hope be rekindled in the midst of despair. Make good our prayers in the lives of loving service, we pray. Creator, loving God, as we pray for the whole creation, so at this time we remember before you the young people of the Young Christian Climate Network on the Climate Justice Walk from the G7 venue in Cornwall to the COP26 conference on the global heating crisis in Glasgow in September, and those who join them on the road. Empower them by your Holy Spirit in all love for your good creation, and join our intentions of heart and mind with theirs in love for you and your creation. Creator, loving God. During the continuing pandemic, we pray for all those who are sick in body, in mind, in the depths of their spirit, for those who grieve. And we pray for all those known to us of this church and beyond, for whom we would offer our prayers this day. We pray for all healers, carers, comforters, Creator, loving God. Richly bless your church in Christ, O God, in this and every place, with the unity of your Spirit, the joy-giving grace of your presence, the power of your call to serve, and the confidence to accept, embrace, and love all people, born of the confidence we have in your unfailing love towards us. We pray for one another, we remember especially during this coming week and beyond our young people and their educators in these difficult and challenging times. We pray for all who journey with us and show us something of your grace in Christ. Bless us with your peace and strength for the living of this day and for tomorrow. And we remember in your presence those who have died. Bring us finally, we pray, to the joy of your eternal realm, to drink from the river of the water of life ever flowing from your throne. Creator, loving God, we offer all our prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Saviour. Amen. An offering prayer. Dear God, we give you thanks for all that we are able to offer to one another, to your church and to the world, for the realization of your realm in our midst. for all that we offer this day. We give you thanks and praise, and we say together, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. The hymn, Sing One and All, a song of celebration, 581 in the hymn book. Assurance of God's Spirit, strengthening us to serve the kingdom on earth, and in joyful hope of resurrection to life eternal, we go in peace to love and serve the Lord. And the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit remain with us now and always. Amen.